He wanted to rejoin the gods, but he was mortal. So how will he rejoin the gods? They now told him that he had to do a deed that's worthy of being a god. So fine. He was a very strong fellow. So he went around doing deeds. You know what I mean? Doing deeds. He was a champion. He fought dragons. He fought all kinds of beasts. He defeated all of them. He fought the most terrible beasts, and he won. Everybody loved him. He was the hero. And one day he came back and told the big, Zeus, that, listen, man, this is the day. I've been waiting for this day. So that fellow now asked, which day is that? He said, the day I rejoined the gods. He said, what have you done to merit? He said, no. Everybody, my name is on everybody's mouth. He described all the deeds he had done, like a Pentecostal. I built churches. You understand my point? I have never missed fighting the last 17 years. Look at it. I've sent 75 people to university. Look at now people I'm helping. Anyway, his father, that's in that film, Zeus, said that, well, all these things don't qualify you. So the guy went back and he was dejected. Let's make a long story short. Now, there was one girl he was in love with. And Satan now came, carried the girl, and killed him. Killed her. Or I think she was trying to save him or something. She now died. And took her spirit down to Hades. So he now went to go and look for the girl there. And he saw a lot of dead people in the, let's assume, in hellfire, something like that. He was not negotiating with the keeper of the realm of death. Okay, let's make a deal. I go in here, and the girl goes back to life. So if you go here, you're not going to come out. He said, no problem. Going once, going twice. The guy was calculating. He said, look, the deal is just for a few seconds, or that kind of thing. So the devil said, okay, fine, okay. So he jumped into that pool of whatever it is, where the dead people were, and he was not supposed to be dead. He now carried the girl and sent her back out. He was willing to stay in there. Except for one thing, he came out and he was shining all over. And so that keeper of the realm of death said, no, nobody can do that except he's a god. Are you getting the point? That is, when he did the deed that turned him back into being a god, he was not even trying to be one. When I watched that, I said, this is true Christianity, though na mythology. Na children's film, actually. I said, but this is true Christianity. All the while, he was aspiring to be something great. He had a measure of greatness on the earth, but didn't turn him into what he wanted to be. Then when he forgot himself, Paul said it like this. Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. He said, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now, that was the attitude that was in Christ Jesus. When he did what he did, now, remember that story I just told? The big god there, I think it's Zeus, they called him, conferred godhood upon him without him asking for it at that point. Now, these are spiritual principles, though they manifest in different areas of life. Different would tell you different stories about them, but these are established spiritual principles. When Jesus did what he did, existing, if a man, I told you, if he was suffering and he suffers some more, that's good, that's not good. You know what I mean? Like, he had made some sacrifice. Amen? He has made some sacrifice. But when somebody existed in the form of God, are you getting me? And then he came down and was obedient to the point of death. There is no greater sacrifice than that one. So what God did was simple. He now conferred upon him the greatest reward that he ever prepared in the whole of creation. Do you get the point I'm making? The sacrifice of Jesus was not without reward. But that's not the high point. The sacrifice of Jesus was not without reward. When he did everything he didn't work for it. That did not in itself, the fact that he died, did not make him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No. It was that when God looked and said, he died for these people, he did all of this, he now conferred upon him, which is what Paul was teaching us here. Therefore, God He said, for this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him a name, the name that which is above every name. Listen to this. That name existed beforehand. That is, was something that was prepared, but nobody was qualified for it. When John was seeing that vision in Revelations, there was something he said which is very, very instructive. He said there was a book. We'll see it later. I don't know. We've read it before. But I just want to bring out some issues from there. Now, in that Revelation chapter 5, we read it before. John saw there was a book that was sealed, and no one was qualified to open it. Are you getting my point? Yes, somebody had to open it. They searched everywhere, and no one was qualified. But after Jesus shed his blood, after he died for you and died for me, God conferred upon him the right to open that book. I'm going somewhere. Please, just follow me very closely. Beyond the fact, this is very interesting. Beyond the fact that he died to free you for your sins, he now got a reward for himself. Are you getting my point? That thing is called sitting on the right hand of God. That thing is called having a name that is above every other name. That reward is called, at the mention of this name, every knee will bow. Every demon will bow. Everything will bow. So the question is that, what is he doing with it? Now, this is actually the high point. Washing you of your sins only means you are no longer a sinner. That's all now. Doesn't make you superior to anybody. It just means that the devil will leave you alone. Go your way, I go my way. It just means the devil cannot hold you by force. It does not give you the power to drive the devil out from anywhere. Who is the person that had the power? Jesus Christ. Why? Because God conferred upon him a name. At the mention of that name, every knee must bow. Let me summarize it like this. After he got that reward, this is the interesting part. He took it again, turned around to the same people he died for, and said, take, you can have it. And that is why you find that Paul always said it like this, I want to be found in him. Listen, that is very different from being washed. Please get that point. It is different from being washed. It is different from being saved. To have authority conferred upon you is a different matter. The point about it is that Jesus did all of that and authority was conferred upon him. Then he turned around, looked at the same people that he died for so as to save them from their sins. He said, I'm not going to just save you from your sins. I'm now going to take you up to the same level where God has taken me because of my sacrifice. Listen, when he died, God raised him up from the dead as a reward for that sacrifice. The death was not negotiable. I will die for 3 days, you wake me up. I don't know whether you're getting my point. The death was a total death. It was a total death. It was what? A total death. The resurrection was a reward. The resurrection was that God looked, and because the Father has life in himself, and he can give life to anybody that he so desires, he conferred life upon him again, and Peter said it like this, it was now no longer possible for death to hold him in his powers. Therefore, he rose again from the dead. And then he ascended on high and sat on the right hand of majesty. I like the way he said it in Psalm 110. He said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make all your enemies a footstool for your feet. Please, I'm going somewhere. Why did he do all of that? Jesus was not going to gain anything from it, because listen to this. If he existed in the form of God, what is he doing with this one now? Why do I have to go through all of this to get this? I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. I'll tell you. Because that was the only way he could now give that to you and give it to me. I pray you understand. That is right now. Let's get back to it. That is why I don't understand when Christians will sit down and be discussing that witches are disturbing them. It is not possible. Because Jesus has a name that is above every name. And he gave that name to whosoever will believe in him. Open to the book of Ephesians. We have to read this. Oh, please, you must understand this. That is actually the high point. What you find Paul talking about again and again is that word. You see him use the word in him. He said that, we read that a lot in Ephesians chapter 1. Let me just, there's a lot to read. Let's start from verse 18. Paul was praying here, but let's see the thing he was praying about. He said, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you will know what is the hope of his calling. What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance, in the saints? What is the surpassing greatness of his power? That's verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? He said, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him. Please, you must put comma here in a way that will make you understand. Put comma after him and put comma after things. And he gave him comma as head of all things, comma, to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Now, please, I need to explain that properly. The Bible says here that God, just like we read from Philippians, did this with Jesus Christ. He raised him from the dead. And he seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority, all Boko Harams, are you getting my point? All witches, all ancestral curses, all demons that try to chase people around and lay claim to their destiny. You are following that? That's what he did. Then after doing that, he now turned around and gave him to the church. Please, I pray you connect this. And while he was giving him to the church, he gave him to the church as head of all things. Now, listen to this. That is, Jesus being head of all things belongs to the church. And that the church is his body. The fullness of him who fills all in all. That is, somebody, because of time, I don't want to go to the translation where I read that one. He was explaining the fact that the church is the full expression, that is, without the church, Jesus is not complete in expression. Please, I'm going somewhere. That is, when Jesus gained everything he gained, what happened was that they took him again. Everything he gained was handed over to his church. Which means, therefore, anybody who understands and believes in Jesus Christ is seated. Now, Jesus didn't sit at the right hand of God feeling very pife, like my friend would say, with himself. I'm higher than all of you. No. He said, this whole sitting arrangement is so that I can make everybody else who believes sit in the same way and the same manner. Please, I hope you're following what I'm saying. I will try and decode it further. I know this is a bit, even me, I only partly understand it. But let me try and bring out some practical sides of it. You know, we cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen? And that name, Jesus Christ, let me start talking about that now. It will help me explain it. I'll finish it next time. I plan to talk about that next time. When we say we are doing anything in the name of Jesus, what that simply means is this. Like now, I come to God and I say, I need a wife. In Jesus' name, I prayed. What that simply means is this. I have not come because I have done anything to deserve it. I have not come because I know how to choose. I have not come because I know how to investigate the family history. Is there any accursed person in their family? Was a great-grandfather an Obanje spirit? Were they trading in slaves? Which that's very common one. That's another lie in Christianity of today. Listen, there's nobody here who doesn't have one troublemaker in his ancestry. Nobody here. Are you getting my point? So if we want to investigate, eventually we'll find out the Jaguda, that's your great-grandfather. You hear what I said? Yes, it's true now. He said, let me go and check whether there's any mental illness in there. There's nobody here. Did you hear what I said? There's none. What did I say? That your neighbor, you get. So forget all this stupid investigation that people do. It's only when problem has not jammed your ancestors enough, now they will not manifest. Now we point to somebody who, because of problems, when the village, when the, a whole village pursue you, something will go wrong with you too. Anyway, I'm digressing again. You know, people, when Christians want to pray, say, oh, come and investigate which village did she come from. Is it from? Did they drive their grandfather out of the village because he was owing money? Tell them, all the debts the grandfather owed, Jesus paid it. Are you getting my point? Listen, don't do things that will make God vex for you. Tell your neighbor, may God not vex for you. It's a valid prayer point too. Is that insulting the name of Jesus Christ? You know, some people, oh God, I've digressed now. But these, my digressions are good. I will digress. I know you want me to digress. No, some people, they'll be doing things that God will be looking at them. And I said, don't worry. Be sowing your seeds. These are the real seeds, though. People not take money to church. I want to show this money towards a good wife. That's not money. Listen to me. I know some people don't like to. You know why some people, they vex, eh? They don't sow. I don't spoil the seed. So they are angry with me. Their investment is over $1 million. Now I'm telling them it won't work. Yes! It will not work! Bad business. Yes, you've done bad business. You can't take money to church and sow it as a seed for a good wife when you have a bad mind. The real seed for the good wife is faith. What did I call it?
Faith.
It is what you believe. No, we started today by saying, what do you what? Believe. There are men who go around saying that, they are not good. They are not good girls these days. And they are looking for a wife. It's called double-mindedness. No, you get up in the morning. Say, all the food in Nigeria is bad. Once you eat it, you are going to have diarrhea and die. And you are eating. What does that mean? Something is wrong with you. That's all it means. How can you be eating food and confessing that all the food in this country is bad? You will soon have diarrhea and die. And it won't be anybody's fault. It is to you according to what? Your faith. So you see guys go around and say, there are no good girls these days. Just tell the fellow, just don't bother marrying. Because anyone you marry will be a Jezebel. Why? You said with your own mouth that there are no good girls these days. And be it unto you according to your faith. If you are believing God for a good wife, you must be a good man yourself. That is the seed you are sowing. So please, forget this money seed. After the, if you want to give, what do? Give. Stop tying rope to this money matter. Please, I hope nobody has given me a gift here with rope tied to it. You give me something, just know it's because you love me. Say, Pastor, I like the way your face is shining. Let it shine some more. It is acceptable. Don't sow any wicked seed into my life. I'm not agricultural soil. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you want to give, what do? Give. If you need something, what do?
Ask.
What do you do when you need something?
Ask.
You ask in faith. Remember we said, asking what? Faith. Don't go to God and say, God, there are no good girls again. What are we going to do? Not allowed. What did I say?
Not
allowed. Say, Father, I thank you. Even though many have followed Jezebel and the prophets of Baal, there are still 7,000 women you have kept in caves in the name of Jesus Christ. They are there. Do you understand what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Now let me get back to my message. That's my digression long. I hope it helped you. Are you single? Say yes. Now why are you pretending? You're pretending, Francis, you are pretending. Are you married? Anybody who's here is not married, it helped you. Amen?
Amen?
Yes. The guys especially. Talk to the women next time. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Anyway, so let's get back to our praying. So we'll come to pray. For example, God wants a wife. And we are praying in the name of Jesus. That's what I'm talking about. We're not praying because we know how to choose. No. We are not asking God because we have sown the enough seeds. That's why I just digress into that. We are not asking God because we know how to investigate. We are asking God because we know that Jesus died and God rewarded him. Now listen to this. One, he washed away my sins because of his death. And God rewarded him with good things. You know, we said last time that the promises, they became effective after the death of the testator. Are you getting my point? One thing I didn't mention again is that actually, those promises became the property of the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you understand what I'm saying? That is, they are his. He bought them. or more like God gave them to him as a reward for his sacrifice. The Bible says he would divide the booty with the strong. That is, these are the labor, these are the rewards of war. Having conquered in a spiritual battle, these are the spoils that God gave to him, every promise of God. Now, so when I'm praying, I'm saying to God, I want this because Jesus has already acquired them and I am to be found in him. That's what it means to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. It means that even though I don't come from it, you know, some fathers will tell you that, which family is he from? I'm sure you've encountered things like that. You understand? He said, for you, it doesn't matter as you are praying. He said, God, I know I am from the family of God. I know that my Father is God in heaven, and I'm more qualified than anybody else because of that. And in case, listen to this, peradventure, I actually have an earthly name to brag on. I refuse it when I say I pray in the name of Jesus. I hope you follow what I'm saying. Once you utter, I am asking you in the name of Jesus, what you are saying is that all my disadvantages don't matter. And all my advantages also don't matter. That, listen, God, I have money, plenty of it, but give me the grace not to use it to impress anybody. In fact, the girl that God leads to me is the one I won't give anything first. Yes. That it has to be by grace, that it might be in accordance with faith. No, sorry. That it has to be by faith, sorry. That it might be in accordance with grace. I switched it there. That is, it's the power of God. Men, you win. Listen, woman, no, let me talk to women. Women, you have to be won by words, not appearances. Do you hear what I said? What I mean is this. If a man is very rich, before you cough, he don't buy cough medicine. You know what I'm saying? That is, if this my ring, it's, you don't buy a new gold one. As I was crossing the road today, my shoe, you don't buy a new one. Don't marry him because of that. What did I say? No, say it. What did I say? You're not for sale. Are you getting my point? Yes. Why should you go and listen to my message, how to find true love? All right, you understand? Let somebody talk. Hear what he's saying. Believe his gospel. Make sure you can walk with him. That's all. That's why a lot of women have problems. You think it is because the man has money to satisfy you. Money, after you've spent it for 1 year, you realize that money and poverty are the same. You will soon find out. Nobody's trying to win you material things. Let the man talk. Hear what he's saying. Decide whether by virtue, because you will know whether he's deceiving himself. Then, in fact, the kind of talk we are talking, you can't lie about them. It's something that comes from inside your stomach. I'm not talking about, you know, the other day my father was flying across Switzerland and then, no, that's nonsense talk. Whether it's true or not, it's not what we're talking about. When a man is just talking from the bottom of his soul about his visions of life, his understanding of things that are going on, you will know whether you can walk with him or you can't. That's what wins a woman. You are getting the point I'm trying to make here. That's what wins a woman. Now, this is the point. So, when we come praying, when we say is in the name of Jesus, what we are saying that all our advantages, if we have money, it's not an advantage. If we don't have, it's not a disadvantage. The only thing we have are the things that Jesus procured for us by the shedding of his blood and by the reward that the Father conferred upon him, which is now legitimately our own. Why? Because he was given, this head of all things, he was given to the church. You must understand, that's what he was saying. That everything that he acquired, everything that God gave to him, it was now given in him to the church. So it means, therefore, if I want to pray about a problem in life, I pray with an attitude that I am seated in heavenly places. Do you understand what I'm saying? Far above principalities and powers. Not just the fact that Satan cannot hold me because I'm no longer a sinner, but that in actual fact, now, you see, that's why I have never sat up to pray about Satan, witches, or wizards. Because I was taught early in my Christianity that as a believer in Christ Jesus, I am seated in heavenly places on the right hand of God with Jesus Christ, and he is seated, we read here, far above principalities and powers and every name that is named. Now, listen. You mention the name of Jesus, he's supposed to cast out demons. True of us? True of us? Do you know why those people shouted, the sons of Sceva? He said, we adjure you in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. And the demons said, what are you talking about? Paul, I know. Jesus, no, that is literally, Jesus I'm personally acquainted with. Paul, I have heard about. But who are you? Now, let me say this, get it clear. Please understand this, I pray you understand it properly. When we pray in the name of Jesus, I said to you, we are saying that these are the things that God has done for us. And that's the premise upon which we come. What we are saying also is that, please get me clearly. But let me prove it before I say it. Jesus said that, now I'm telling you to disciples, you will come to the Father and ask. I'm not telling you that I will ask for you. I am saying the Father himself loves you. Now listen to this. Whether you shout the name of Jesus or not, a true believer, his presence is scary to demons. That's what I'm trying to explain. I'm not in any way trying to demean the name Jesus. I'm trying to say that even if I don't shout in the name of Jesus, in fact, it's something I don't have to shout to the devil when it has to be my affair. No. That Satan come, stand there, say, oh boy, I'll be your mate. Say, no, sir. No, do you understand my point? You must understand, I'm not confessing word for Satan. Most of the time, you confess word is for yourself. The truth is that the very standing, the presence of you as a Christian is scary to him. Why? Because the name, that position that Jesus, do you understand my point? Occupies. He doesn't occupy for himself. Any one of the people who believe in him, who understand their faith in him, when heavens look at the person, they see the person in that same position. I don't know whether you're getting what I'm saying. That is, if you are of faith, you are seated on the right hand of God, far above principalities and powers. I don't know. No, open your Bible back to where we were just now. He said it there. He said, chapter 1, verse 20. He said, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. Now go down to chapter 2. Now see verse 5. Okay, let me start from verse 4. It said, but God, being rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Please, I hope you are getting that. That is, he seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You know, I said something from the beginning. I said, just believe it. What did I say? When Jesus was conferred with everything he was conferred with, what he simply did was to turn around and hand it over to his church. That was why the Bible says that he was given, him that was head of all things, to the church. Let me tell you the truth. The church is not being what it's supposed to be. That is what the problem is. They don't recognize it. And I keep on telling you, when there's political crisis, can we start talking? And they start issuing political statements. People say that it's important Christians must come together and unite and fight these people. Who are these people? And what they are called unity in Christianity is nothing but foolishness. That is, unbelievers and believers should gather together just because they are both hereditarily in the same church. They don't believe, oh, you now say we are united. And we now face who? I still don't understand who we are supposed to face. Anytime they come with that, me, I always turn my face and say, I don't believe. True Christians You know, if something truly, I pray that God will open our eyes. When things truly displease Christians, and you must understand, they don't judge with the hearing of their ears and the seeing of their eyes. They judge with righteous judgment. Please, follow what I'm saying. They go inside. That's what the Bible calls the decree of the watchers. They are seated above rule and authority. Let me tell you, the truth is that most Christians, what those you call Christians today, I've said it again and again, 50% at least, minimum, in Pentecostal churches, they are not believers. They just go to church because it's a normal southern habit in Nigeria. When they are true Christians, even those who have really given their lives to Christ, they don't even understand. They are still trying to get from God by giving to Him first. Those are not people that are seated, who understand that they are seated. Those who are really seated, let me tell you the truth, they change governments. And I told the story before, the days of MK Abiola, when MK was making noise, I know one brother, he was there. They got. Do you know how popular MK was? A lot of you here were too young at that time. MK Abiola were returning officers. You don't know. I mean, look young. I'm an old man. 93, I was a youth copper. 93. June 12th, Taraba State. I was in Taraba. I didn't go that day because where they posted me was far. So being a doctor, I was just in the clinic. I told them, look, I'm working the clinic, so I didn't go. But my colleagues went, were youth coppers. MK Abiola won almost everywhere. The man was incredibly popular. He defeated Bashir Tofa in Kano. Bashir Tofa was from Kano. In his own local government. No, get my point. That was what happened to MK Abiola. He was that incredibly popular. Emirs campaigned for him. But some brethren gathered and said no. He will never rule in this country for what he did in the days of OIC. Babangida was under a spell when they annulled the election. The spell generated by Christians who said, no, you will never rule in this country. You know, God said, because of what this man did that time, therefore, that's what they did to him. They were not in any political party. They were not anywhere. Well, they are a network of people all over the country, here and there. They said, no, not in this country. And the Lord gave the word to what is his name, Tunde Bakare. And said, because they are related, he said, go and tell my brother he will never be president. Campaign was going on. It was hot. MK was flying all over the country. He said, are there no longer elders in that house? Go and tell that man he will never be president. True believers, they don't make political statements. We Christians have gathered to condemn the bombing in Kano. Who does not know that bombing in Kano is a bad thing? Christians are afraid. Islamic banking, then they start to pee in their trousers. They start making political statements. People who are sitting in heavenly places, they'll say, why do the hidden rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. That's how they talk. You've heard me say my own before. They say, the Muslims are starting schools. Your children will go to those schools. Let them start the schools. Islamic physics and Christian physics is physics. You don't know that? This boy who killed somebody on the streets of London about 3 days ago. I hope you know his name is Michael Adebowale or something like that. Adebolajo, yes. He did not go to an Islamic school. They converted him on the streets of London. The other one is Michael Ade something else. Two of them. They did not go to Islamic schools. They converted them on the streets of London. Sunday Adelaja. He went to communist schools. The communists tried to indoctrinate him. They did not know that the Spirit of Christ had entered into him a few months before he boarded that flight to go to Ukraine. He's today the pastor of the largest European church. Christians will be trembling. Islam, I said, they can't take anything over. If you start a school in Enugu, if I like it, I will let people go there. Yes. Why? Because the Bible says strangers will build my walls. They will nurse my children. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. You bring the oil from Saudi Arabia, bring it the money to Nigeria, no problem. Use it to start schools in Enugu here. Well, I will give you land. Aye! Christians should be wise. How big do you want the land to be? Take it. Give them the terms. The schools will be like this. Yes, these are the number of hospitals. Uh-huh. Then you go back inside. Say, Lord, I thank you. Because you said you caught a bird of prey from the east. And where? East. And the man of your purpose from a distant country. Let them bring money from far, from everywhere. Come and build it. The day they lay foundation stone from the mosque, you go back to your house and say, that will be a church in 50 years. So the man who lays that foundation stone will preach Christianity. That's how Christians behave. You must have a seated above thinking. Are you getting my point? Yes. Don't be scared. You see, people just be throwing tantrums. I mean, a man says, look, and listen, this is my opinion. A man says, I want an Islamic bank because my religion does not allow me to charge interest. What is wrong with it? Don't you have traditional medicine for those who don't want to go to hospital? What's wrong with it? I don't know why Christians just throw tantrums because they are afraid. They are scared. I was one man who said it publicly, everybody wanted to hear. I said, there's no reason why. In fact, they were the ones that made a mistake shouting Islamic bank. You should have just said, look, non-interest banking, and leave the word there. And they bring non-interest bank to Enugu. Better go there and go and open an account. Oh. That's my own personal counsel. Go and open an account. When they are bringing money from Kuwait, collect your portion. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Let me close, please. Maybe next time I'll develop it further. But the summary of what I've said today is this. It's simple. Now listen. Jesus died and God rewarded him for his labors. And he turned around and took those same rewards and turned around and blessed you with them. Part of the reward is that he seated in a place in spiritual realms. And he said, okay, you, come and sit on the seat that I'm supposed to be occupying. Let us sit there together. Are you getting the point? That is, don't be afraid. You are not under. You are literally above. That you are above rule and authority. We'll talk about it next time. How Christians, the problem in the world today is that Christians are not being Christians. Most of those who go to church are really not Christians. And some are so confused, they are going to places that, because they are looking for miracles. A Christian doesn't go around running up and looking for miracles. You must have a seated mentality. When you are making your prayers, your requests, listen, it's not like you don't, when you enter into a house, it's not in Jesus' name, all demons leave this house. It is in Jesus' name I have come to this house. I sit down there. The demons that want to go to hellfire faster than the others should please remain around. Listen, those who are seated above, let me summarize that they are seated. What did I say?
Yes.
Let's leave it there.